where we can find the absolute. Though Hegel thinks art and religion both express the absolute, he believes that revealed religion expresses it better than art. Here the content to be known is absolute mind itself, a self-determining and truly infinite principle. Hegel emphasizes once again his belief that religion essentially involves knowing God. He says we're mistaken if we set religion in opposition to thought because we believe that knowing God is beyond our power.
If we recollect how intricate is the knowledge of the divine mind for those who are not content with the homely pictures of faith, but proceed to thought, it may come as a surprise that so many, and especially theologians whose vocation it is to deal with these ideas, have tried to avoid their task by gladly accepting anything offered to them which may serve as an excuse. Nothing serves their purpose better than to adopt the conclusion that man knows nothing of God.
Here Hegel attacks the pietists who believe that religion is based entirely on feeling and simple faith. This form of religion was widespread in 18th century Germany. They were known for following a simple slogan.
Quantity of knowledge is not quantity of piety.
Hegel also attacks Immanuel Kant's view that man can have no knowledge of God. Kant calls God the ideal of pure reason. He means that God is both the sum total and the ground of all reality. Kant declares that God is beyond empirical knowledge.
We cannot have any knowledge of the object which corresponds to the ideal, for no appearance can be found in which it can be represented concretely. The ideal contains a certain completeness to which no possible empirical knowledge ever attains.
Hegel always insists that we shouldn't be content with mere promises or proposals about God. He says repeatedly that our understanding of God must be worked out in detail through laborious thought. So he quickly makes the transition from religion to philosophy. He translates the Christian doctrine of the Trinity into the terms of his own logic. Hegel says God creates his Son under the form of universality. The phenomenal world is created through the divine word under the form of particularity. Here mankind is the spirit in creation, developing itself until it becomes the wickedness that calls for redemption. Finally, the Son enters the world as mediator under the form of individuality, the third part of this version of the Trinity. Wickedness is overcome because Christ puts himself in judgment and expires in the pain of evil. In returning, the divine man Christ, whom Hegel calls the being of beings, brings about the indwelling of the Spirit in all things. This metaphysical reconstruction of religious doctrine is a foretaste of the final state of absolute mind. Hegel calls this absolute knowing, where all previous phases, not only of mind, but of the entire dialectical process, are brought together in a final unity. Hegel had struggled for years with the problematic relationship between religion and philosophy. The young Hegel, in the years before 1800, believed that religion predominates over philosophy. He thought that religion must rest on a basic unity of God and man through faith. Philosophy, he believed, breaks up this unity with abstract concepts. It establishes a duality between subject and object. A crucial turning point in Hegel's thought occurred when he began to see that not all thought separates subject and object. Only the abstract form of thought, which he called understanding, produces this undesirable consequence. Understanding is not the only type of thought. Another type, reason, is a living process that unites and integrates all that's been fragmented by understanding. He concluded that reason is far from being the enemy of religion. Reason is precisely the form of thought needed to comprehend the content of faith. To understand the relation between philosophy and religion, Hegel says we must concentrate on the difference between reason and understanding.
The whole question turns entirely on the difference of the forms of speculative thought from the forms of mental representation and reflecting.
Above all, Hegel wants to show that religion may justly reject thought if thought means understanding, thought that distinguishes and disintegrates things. But religion may not justly reject reason, which unifies and integrates. Hegel criticizes what he calls the rationalist who fails to grasp the nuances of religion because he tries to understand it in terms that are suitable only for sensible objects in the world.
Nothing is easier, therefore, for the rationalist than to point out contradictions in the exposition of the faith, and then to prepare triumphs for its principle of formal identity. If the spirit yields to this finite reflection, which has usurped the title of reason and philosophy, it strips religious truth of its infinity and makes it in reality not. Religion in that case is completely in the right in guarding herself against such reason and philosophy and treating them as enemies. But it is another thing when religion sets herself against comprehending reason and against philosophy in general, and especially against the philosophy of which the doctrine is speculative and hence religious.
Hegel's thought shows a clear trend. The young Hegel believed that philosophy has to stop short of religion because in religion there's a unity of man and God that purely analytical thinking can only disrupt. But the mature Hegel, armed with reason that unites and synthesizes, reverses the relationships. From his new vantage point, Hegel says that philosophy is not disruptive when based on reason rather than understanding. Philosophy in the form of reason can grasp the truth expressed in religion in a way that religion itself is unable to do. Hegel puts the point in a remarkably clear way.
Philosophy indeed can recognize its own forms in the categories of religious consciousness, and even its own teaching in the doctrine of religion, which therefore it does not disparage. But the converse is not true. The religious consciousness does not apply the criticism of thought to itself, does not comprehend itself, and is therefore, as it stands, exclusive.
Students of Hegel have found this passage very curious. It seems to bypass theology, which has long been devoted to conceptualizing and organizing religious insights. Instead, Hegel believes that comprehending religion is the task of philosophy. In the end, he means that comprehending religion is the task of his philosophy.
This is the end of Side 1. Please fast forward and turn over your cassette.